Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Fitness on the Front Lines. Today, we actually have a guest for the first time in a good little while. But first, let me introduce my co-host, Eric.
Hello.
How are you doing today, Eric?
I'm good.
Cool. All right, now for the actual guest, we have the man, the myth, the legend. I'm not even sure if he's completely real, Philip Raby.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you doing, Philip?
Good.
Cool. How has, for both you guys, because we usually go through this kind of stuff before, how has this week of training been for both of you guys?
Well, compared to last week, it's been nice. A lot of sessions this week so far, I've got to take my time and not rush through.
Would you like press for time last week or something?
Well, Monday and Wednesday I have kids class right after I get here and lift. And then Tuesday and Thursday I have a little more time so I can kind of pace myself a little bit more. But I'm sure you guys have seen me like Monday and Wednesday. I'm running the plates to the
right. So you mean to tell me that they let you in charge of shaping children's minds?
Yeah. Yeah, I really pulled the wool over their eyes.
So what exactly is it that you do? We know, but tell the audience what exactly is it that you do. You don't just do CrossFit.
Yeah, so I've been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for about 15 years now. Mm-hmm. Started here in Huntsville and then got stationed in the Army. Kind of had to take a break because training took priority over my personal life.
Right. Get a little bit closer to the mic.
And then I deployed not too long after that. Mm-hmm. And kind of missed, like, every time I'd come home, I'd, like, really get into it, and I'd miss it. And I told myself, I was like, when I get back from deployment and get a little more settled in, I'm going to be disciplined with it and start doing it again regularly. And
the old vicious cycle.
Yeah, and then, and ever since 2010, I've been training every week with the exception of when I was injured or on vacation. Even on vacation, sometimes I was doing jiu-jitsu. So.
Nice. Did you just like drop in at dojos wherever you're at?
Yeah, I mean.
So it's kind of like CrossFit. You can just drop in.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good schools. Like I know a lot of people in jiu-jitsu across the United States and some out of the United States. So they always see somebody wherever I go or I look up their school to go train with them.
And right.
They're always super welcoming, typically.
Yeah. So you're like a seventh degree white belt. Is that right?
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like it.
What? I don't know how you would say that. Would you say like rank or just like belt or what?
Yeah,
I'm
a first degree black belt now under a five-time ADCC champion. And
arguably
five-time.
The most dangerous person we've had on the show.
Yeah, and he just gave me my first degree black belt under Maverick Training Center and Autos, which is the main team that we're a part of.
Okay.
But it was always been a dream of mine to train under him and also to become a black belt under Suzanne, who is the owner of Maverick. And she's basically responsible for me doing jiu-jitsu and staying with it this time, because if I wasn't for her and her family, who also all train and are all black belts now.
Oh, wow.
If it wasn't for them.
Family of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. If it wasn't for them keeping me, like, keeping my head on straight and guiding me throughout the years and keeping me motivated when I was like, I'm not going to be good at this, like, I should quit or all that self-doubt. They kept me straight and I ended up just falling in love with it and just stayed the course, you know, and here I am, living testament to what you can do if you just don't give up. Like that's one thing about me that I'm most proud of is that if it's important to me, I won't give up no matter what.
Right.
Even if I fail.
I like that a lot. So let's back up a little bit and kind of go from your actual start of your full-on fitness journey.
Okay.
What got you interested in either jiu-jitsu, CrossFit, or even Olympic weightlifting? What really got you started into that area? Have you always been interested in it, or was there like something that kind of clicked for you one day?
Well, for jiu-jitsu, like, it always appealed to me. If you watch like UFC and any fighting tournament, like, it always appealed to me that a guy who wasn't physically gifted or physically imposing, could control a much larger person. And
yeah.
And on top of that, I was like, I was a tall, skinny kid the majority of my life. I'm still tall and skinny, but I have a little more size than I used to when I was in high school. And I got picked on a lot, and people tried to push me around. And
really?
Jiu-jitsu kind of gave me the confidence to stand up for myself and, like, really speak my mind and be firm without having to, like, deal with the anxiety and worrying about if they're going to, like, actually call my bluff and try to hurt me.
Right.
So, like, now, like, if somebody is just trying to start trouble with me, I don't even take it seriously because I know it's not going to be...
Yeah.
They're not going to actually do anything because it's just a dumb idea for them.
Right.
To like...
Jeez.
I know enough now where it's I hate to say this, but it's like jiu-jitsu at the level that I've been training at for so long now. It's like a superpower.
Right.
That's like, awesome.
You hear that, people. Philip has superpowers.
Yeah. I mean, he probably doesn't know just... what to do.
I'm not like making light of any of your training or anything like that, but I have just wondered what it would be like if I was just like, all right, Philip, I'm going to come at you with full force and I give you full rein to just do whatever. I just want to see how fast you could take me down.
You'd be asleep in 3 seconds.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to know. Like, you know, I asked for it. Hurt me however, you know, I just want to see it.
I will say, some of the toughest people to train with are people that are inexperienced.
Really?
Because they don't know how to move necessarily.
Yeah.
But they know when they're uncomfortable. and then they just, sometimes they like, they'll give it to you. Even as a black belt, like,
right.
Just because you're a black belt does not mean that you're impervious to being beaten.
You still feel pain?
Yeah, I've gotten choked out before as a black belt,
like,
by people that I train with constantly that have less experience than me. It's just, I mean, people will pick up on it, and the ones that have adept minds for jiu-jitsu are going to start seeing those opportunities the more they expose themselves to doing jiu-jitsu. And it's only a matter of time before they're on that day and you make a mistake that day.
And then it just like...
yeah.
The bill comes due.
But at the same time, like at this point for me in jiu-jitsu, like you can't have an ego and be a black belt typically.
Right.
Like, you won't last if you have an ego.
Right.
And I'm okay with losing. Like, I've lost a bunch of times and I'll lose a bunch more. It's not that big of a deal for me.
Yeah.
What matters to me now is like trying to be as technical and proficient as possible and just give my best effort, whether it be teaching or training and trying to help the people that are getting ready for tournaments or various things.
Okay. So from jiu-jitsu, how did you get into like weightlifting?
I have had limited exposure to CrossFit from being in the military. And
oh, yeah, because they kind of like do CrossFit style things.
Kinda, yeah. That took on in the military when I was deployed, and I kind of got exposure to that and did some of the stuff because the team leaders in our unit thought it was like really good for our type of job.
Yeah,
in a reconnaissance company, you're carrying a lot of heavy weight for long distances, and you need to have like strong core, strong legs, strong back, all of that stuff. So it just made sense, but I kind of like was like iffy on it because there was a lot of stuff they would try to get us to do that I wasn't comfortable doing.
Yeah.
Or maybe shouldn't have been doing because I wasn't ready technically.
Right.
And I kind of flip-flopped between being into it and out of it.
Yeah.
And then I got out of the military and there was a gym that I was training at, and it was an actual CrossFit gym.
Yeah. Where was it
at? In Yelm, Washington.
In where?
Yelm, Washington.
Yelm?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Y-E-L-M. Yeah.
So whenever you left the military, is that where you just decided to stay for a while? Or because you said that you started out here in Huntsville.
Yeah, I'm from Huntsville.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got stationed in Washington. And then I stayed out there after I got out of the military because I had made a lot of friends and training partners and developed like professional jobs and stuff there. And
yeah,
I thought I wanted, like, at the time it made sense. I like enjoyed being there to an extent, and but life had other plans for me, so I ended up moving back. But yeah, I trained at a CrossFit gym there. She's gonna kill me if I forget her last name, but her name is Annie, and she was a head coach of CrossFit Yum.
We'll just say it's Annie Thor's daughter.
Yeah,
that's what we'll say.
She'll probably appreciate that.
Yeah, we'll just say it was Thor's daughter.
But she, I was going there like 2 times a week, and I just like.
Was this sprinkled in with your jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, it was mostly to supplement jiu-jitsu, and like I wasn't really going enough and to really reap the benefits of a program. And I ended up just feeling like telling myself, because of lack of experience and discipline, that it wasn't for me. I didn't need to do that. Like, it wasn't benefiting my jiu-jitsu, so I just stopped doing it.
Right.
And it wasn't until almost been a year since I've been here.
Yeah.
But it was the beginning of quarantine when I started really getting into doing this kind of stuff, CrossFit, and because everything was shut down. Mm-hmm. So, like, I wasn't able to go to the gym anymore or go to jiu-jitsu. Like, my outlets for, like, exercise were all shut down.
You just had to, like, roll with the dog, essentially.
Yeah, basically. We'd put mats in our, like, really thin puzzle mats in our carport and roll on the, like, just drill. We couldn't, like, really spar because you get taken down on those and you're going to get knocked out.
Yeah. Not in a fun way.
Yeah. So, Tyler, who you guys have met.
Yeah, I've met Tyler.
He helped me build a pull-up rig in my backyard with a squat rack and stuff. And I, like, when we started getting our stimulus, I put that towards using it to give myself something to do.
Right.
For Allison and I.
Yeah.
And ended up starting to piece together, like, we got barbells, we got bumper plates. So we had, like, the raw essentials to do, like, something just to be active.
Right.
And I really enjoyed it, like I haven't before.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going to make excuses this time. I'm going to do it 5 days a week, even if it's the time that I can do it varies.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to quit. Like, even when I'm like, when I fail, I'm going to accept that there's going to be a learning curve that I need to work through.
Yeah.
Because I am inexperienced. Even still, I consider myself inexperienced. And
aren't we all? no joke. I feel like I still feel that way, and I'm the coach.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed it like I haven't before. And so I was just working out. We were working out together in the carport. And
you say together, was this you, Allison, and your friend Tyler?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah, anybody like Russell Berger, you guys have heard of. Probably.
I think we have talked about him.
Yeah, him and Tyler came into my carport and just wrecked me. Like, they were like, all right, we're going to start lifting now. And I was like, I'm maxed out.
I'm maxed out in the warm-up.
And, yeah, so that put me, like, right about September or October.
Yeah.
And then I think Allison had started coming here around that time.
Yeah.
And she was telling me, it's like, oh, this is a great place. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to come check it out. Hopefully, I'm going to, like, get a few things together so I can afford to come here.
Just real quick, when did you say? I didn't catch the month that you said that you had.
When I started or when she started?
When she started.
She started around, like, August or September. I might be off by that a little bit, but it's around that time.
Okay.
And she was telling me how awesome it was, how awesome the space was.
Right. And
she was kind of bummed because originally she was, actually it might have been sooner when she came because she was training when it was owned by the 24/7.
Yeah. And well, see, we didn't get it till October of that year.
So it might have been a little bit longer then.
Yeah.
She was coming here and then she had said all the, a new group of people bought it and she was really excited because that was for her, that was her outlet.
Yeah.
And she was kind of bummed because she thought it was going to, they were going to have to shut the gym down.
It was going
to
be over. Yeah.
Yeah. And it, all the stuff that she had been trying to work towards was going to be gone.
Yeah.
And then like one of the greatest things that happened was you guys came in and bought it and started making some great changes. Like even the time that I was here, the short time that I was here from when you guys initially bought it to just a few months past that, there was so many things that changed that was just amazing. Like it, you could tell that you guys were in it to put the effort. Like you weren't just, it wasn't just a cash cow.
Yeah.
Like some people treat a gym. It was, you actually cared about the people and investing in the business and making it a place where people want to come and train.
Well, it's a family. You know, you're not facilitating a business, you're facilitating a family.
Yeah.
And so if you don't treat it that way, it's just going to die.
Exactly.
You know. And you know what's funny is that you said you started around like October or so. Mm-hmm. I thought that you had always been here. whenever I had first seen you here, I was like,
actually have been here longer than me.
Huh. That's kind of funny. I guess
I thought you were here for a while.
I thought you'd been here before because I was like, I think I came one day and you were doing like open gym. You was doing, you know, your Olympic weightlifting. And I was just like, oh, he must be like one of the open gym people because I heard that there were a few. And so I was just like, okay, that's when I'm going to introduce myself to you and all that stuff. It turned out that was probably like your first week there or something. I have no idea.
Yeah, initially I had bought a punch card because I didn't know exactly if I was going to be able to afford a monthly payment and be able to. So I was just doing like whenever I could come in and like kind of when it was like inclement weather or.
Yeah.
And then eventually I just like, I think Katie was the one who did my first class here.
Yeah.
And I knew.
Old blueberries in the omelet, Katie.
Yeah.
We're going to keep that going.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Well, it seems like you're on the right side of history, Philip. That's what I heard.
Yeah. But she gave me my first class, or she taught the first class, rather.
Yeah.
And, like, everybody was, like, coming up to me and, like, introducing themselves to me. And, like, typically, like, when I'm new in this environment, I kind of, like, hang back and see everybody and try to read them first before I start like being myself. So like I'm introverted in kind of a way or in that way. And it felt different.
Yeah.
Like, different than any other CrossFit gym that I've been to. And that's not speaking bad on them. It's just that's my personal take. Like I didn't feel really like I fit in anywhere.
And well, you're not going to fit in every single CrossFit gym. Like every gym is its own family, and you either vibe or you don't.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the truth, you know. So that's completely understandable. That's not like any kind of a detriment to you or to any of the other gyms or anything. Sometimes you just don't vibe with them. Because I remember whenever Elk Valley closed, there was like, you know, a couple of them had asked me if I was going to go to another gym anywhere. I said, I don't know. I might drop in, you know, here and there just see if I catch a vibe. And that's what I meant, you know, is that I don't know if these gyms are going to, you know, be my kind of vibe or if they're, you know, a different kind of vibe that I'm just not just like super, you know, cheesing with.
Yeah.
So that's completely understandable.
And I eventually, I forget at which point, I signed up and I was paying monthly. And so I was coming in every day.
Yeah.
And doing like Tyler had given me a program so I could have some structure, and I didn't really know what I was doing. So it was nice to like have you guys here.
Right.
And there was a couple of times where like I had never experienced this before at other gyms or even just training on my own, where you guys had were watching me, and I was like, hey, can you watch me? And you really, like, weren't trying to just be a coach. You were, like, trying to, like, pump me up. And I never felt that before. And that made me, like, really happy to be here. And as the time has passed, like, I've really gotten to know a lot of people here. And some I don't, like, talk to regularly. Like, I see them in passing. I'll be like, hey, how's it going?
You know,
small talk. But I really do love everybody here. I think everybody's really awesome people, and they're all doing great things regardless. Like, I don't care like what level they're at, or that doesn't mean anything to me. What matters to me is, you know, like the content of their character. And I think everybody here is just a wonderful person. I love everybody here to death, and I'm really happy to be a part of this.
Well, we're happy that you're here.
And, yeah, I mean, you guys have really been a huge asset to me, like, as far as being friends, like, you two especially. Like, I see I see you guys every day, you know, and you're always there to, like, when I'm, like, tired or, like, I'm, like, kind of second-guessing myself, you're like, come on. And that's, like, that will make me something click for me, and I just, like, I just don't think about it. I just do it. And it's that motivation that keeps me, like, coming back every day and just being around you guys, because you guys have, like, a positive attitude, and I love that. Like, I need that in my life when I don't want to, like, I want to just be, like, emo. And just, like,
I want to put on Dashboard Confessional.
Well, we really appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
So as far as the jiu-jitsu, you said that you had taught kids and stuff. How did you get into teaching jiu-jitsu?
So
is our children the only people that you teach? Do you teach, like, adults and stuff, too?
So when I was living in Washington, I had, like, the opportunity to go train with a lot of high-level people because I was able to afford it, and I had the time off to do so.
Right.
Like, I was able to go take seminars from a lot of high-level people.
Yeah.
Because Washington, or, like, Washington and, like, Seattle / Tacoma are...
Get a little bit closer to the mic,
They are, like, two of the major cities in Washington, so it's kind of, like, a popular spot to visit.
Kind of bustling metropolises.
Yeah. So it attracts, like, big names with...
Right.
Across multiple venues of entertainment and
Huntsville's starting athletics. To get
that way too. Like... You have, like, all the big concerts, like the big sporting events. You have the Seahawks and stuff. So that's the kind of city it is. So you, with jiu-jitsu, you even get the big names with that as well.
Yeah.
And I was able to, like, train and learn a lot. And just at that time, my mind was just, like, so – it still is.
Yeah.
But I wanted to learn as much jiu-jitsu as I could at the time. And I was – there wasn't any seminar – that I wasn't willing to spend the money on, because
you were just a sponge.
I was really trying to, at the time, I wanted to be a world champion.
Yeah.
Which at the purple belt level, which is what I was at the time, it's a task, because if you look at the brackets that I competed in were lightweight to middleweight, because that's just what I weighed at the time.
Yeah.
And for adult male, those two brackets, typically at purple belt before quarantine, typically at purple belt would have anywhere from 100 to 150 people in just one bracket. That's So that's, like, anywhere from 7 to 12 matches just to win first place in your division. So it's
kind of a lot.
So you have to not only be, like, in shape, you have to be technically proficient as well,
right?
And to the point where it's your technique is so good that it's fast,
right?
Otherwise, you're just gonna get dusted,
right? So, from these seminars, is this where you had decided that that this is something that you'd want to teach yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I got the opportunity to teach after a few, like a year and a half of being a purple belt, because I was always like doing stuff that some of the guys had never seen before at the school that I was training at.
Is that the belt level that you're able to, because I don't know the terminology, I'm sorry if I'm butchering it, but is that like the level that you're able to start teaching at?
Typically it's like nowadays, because there's so many black belts and so many brown belts, like it's like given the opportunity to train with a black belt or given the opportunity to be taught by blue belt, you're going to go with the black belt. Black belt's got more experience. But back when I started, it was less common for a black belt. So you would train basically with wherever you could train with. And when I was a purple belt, it was kind of like right around that time when like jiu-jitsu is like just exploding.
Yeah.
Now I'd say most people know about jiu-jitsu. It's pretty mainstream. It's still a niche sport, but it's pretty mainstream for the most part.
Yeah.
But I got the opportunity to teach because I was like really advancing technically pretty fast. And like I was spending the time and effort to learn new stuff. And they saw that. And so they gave me the opportunity to teach. And I started off teaching adults, and then kind of branched off into the kids. Yeah. And then I taught kids until kids and adults not too long before I moved back to Huntsville.
Right.
And then moving back as a black belt, I mean, going from one school to the next, even though I've known Suzanne basically since I've started, I still had to go through like basically being a new employee. Not that's kind of a weird way of putting it, but it's like when you're a new employee somewhere, you have to start from scratch and kind of accept that you're going to be like the new guy for a bit and have some like growing pains, like learning the way they do things versus here, because it's her school, you know, she runs it the way she sees is most beneficial. And I love Suzanne to death. She's, like I said, she's been there for me my whole life.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to disrespect her school by trying to be my own, do things my way.
Right.
I want to do things that are going to serve her best and help her school grow the best. And so I didn't really get I didn't ask about teaching. Yeah. I knew if she had an opportunity, if she wanted me to teach, she would ask me when she was ready.
Yeah.
So it was like a year or two, and then I got to start teaching some of the do some of the competition classes.
Yeah.
And the competition classes are not really too much teaching. It's more of like structuring the class to really push the people that are going to be competing, or they just want to train hard. And so I got to start off doing that, and then.
So what do they do in that class then, if you don't really like, you're not really like teaching, you're more trying to structure them?
So with competition class, the rounds are more intense. So you're going to warm up, and it's going to be fast-paced warming up. Like you're doing speed drills with different techniques. Then you're going to go into typically like takedowns, like drilling takedowns, and then straight into sparring for takedowns. And then we'll do different scenarios based on kind of what we see the students may need to work on.
Yeah.
Like if it's positional or like scenario based type of drilling, kind of gear it that way.
Getting them ready for anything.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Like we'll start sometimes from bad positions, like getting out of bad positions, or doing takedowns, first point where if you pull guard and sweep them, or if you take them down, those are both point worthy maneuvers. So first point, and then a new person will come in. Like sometimes it'll be like a 3-person group. So it's king of the hill. The person It pays to be a winner, but it doesn't, because if you keep winning, you're going to be in the whole time for like 8-10 minutes, and you're going to be tired, and it's just a matter of like kind of how long can you hang on.
That sounds kind of awesome.
It's fun.
Yeah, it sounds kind of fun.
And I think that's kind of why I like this so much, is because it's tough.
Yeah.
It's not like you're not just – there's no workout you can do in here where it's just going to be a coast. It's – if you're coasting, you're not doing the
– That's right.
Right weight or
– Yeah.
Because there's been a couple of times where I'm like – I finish super fast. I'm like not even – I'm like, probably should have done something different.
Right.
Like today's. You're doing today's, aren't you? Because it's a partner workout. Don't you typically partner with Allison on that?
Yeah, we're going to see. I think she's probably going to just do Ole. She wanted to just do Ole this week and see how that felt.
Okay.
I think she's really enjoying that class from you a lot. So
a lot of people really like the Ole class.
Well, I mean, it's just – I think that's why I enjoy it, is because there's something cool about just being able to – put weight over your head and control it from like a squat, or get it from the ground to your shoulders and then from the shoulders to the overhead.
Well, see, it's like people really like the strength things because it's, you know, I'm not acting like, you know, Ollie is simple, but it is simple because it's like do this, put this weight up, do better next time or do more next time or fix this here, fix this there. You know, it's not, you know, like CrossFit where it's, all right, I got to do this in this amount of time. I need to do this. I need to be able to hold my heart rate here. I need to, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it. And so it's a lot more lax, the Ollie class is, and it's still like an hour that you get to spend with the gym family too. Yeah. And you also get to get stronger as a benefit of it. So, yeah. I mean, I completely understand why people love the Ollie class.
Yeah. I really do love
You're
doing
the
class.
Commercial, by the way.
Paid for by Rockin' City CrossFit.
Literally.
Yeah, I really do love the classes too, though. I just don't have enough time during the week to, like, if I did the classes plus Ole, like, plus jiu-jitsu, I'd be, like, destroyed all the time.
You sure wouldn't be, like, extra superhuman?
I don't feel like it sometimes. Like, like last night, I felt like I was just one wrong move away from getting the crap kicked out of me. Oof. But
that's not, I can't.
But that's experience. Like, that's the difference between experience and like just being youthful. Like, experience will, and jiu-jitsu will beat youth a lot of times.
So I've got to ask a question. How do you just stay in the mindset that it's okay if I get my rear end handed to me?
Because it's happened to me so many times. I know what it feels like.
It's not going to be worse.
Yeah. And I know I approach it from more of a analytical standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, what did I do wrong? What did I do to get me here? Like, even if I do something good or it doesn't feel as good as I've done it before, I'll ask the person that I'm rolling with. It doesn't matter if it's a white belt, a blue belt, or a black belt, whatever. I'll ask them, hey, what did that feel like to you? Or what did I do wrong? Like, what did you feel when I did that to you? Like, where did you feel the pressure was, or where did you feel the lack of pressure was? And I try to like refine my technique based on what they're telling me.
Yeah.
And just try to implement it better the next time.
Yeah. See, I have this mental image of just you in a chokehold and the world's just fading out. And you're like, how did I get here? what did I do wrong?
I know you're probably wondering how I got here.
How does that feel for you?
Yeah, that's exactly
what there's a couple of times where like I got choked out and I woke up and I like thought I had been out for a long time.
Yeah.
And one
like
time
weeks, or
like minute like probably like 10 or 15 minutes at least.
God, had you been out for that long?
No, it was only a few seconds, but like it feels like it's hard to tell because sometimes it comes on quick and sometimes you're like thinking you're almost out of something and you pass out.
So what's the longest that you know that you've been knocked out for?
Just like a few seconds. Like
that's not so
unless
bad.
Somebody like really holds it for a long time, you're not going to be out for a long time.
Oh, okay, so like as soon as they feel you go,
yeah, typically
lifeless, they're gonna let go.
Yeah, and there's a lot of times there's some like sounds that are indicative of a, someone about to pass out,
probably
like
a couple gargles and things,
gargling, like snoring, like they're like trying to suck air through their nose, and it's like, yeah,
wow. What's the longest you've ever seen somebody knocked out for? Is it still just like a couple seconds?
Yeah, I mean,
seconds?
It's not very long. Like I said,
there's never been anybody you're like worried about.
You have to be a real jerk and hold a choke and know that they've passed out for like a while after for it to be anything longer than that.
So there's never been, has there anybody that you ever seen knocked out that you was just like, ooh, like you was just worried about them or anything? Or
no, not choking, because being choked out is actually like kind of peaceful. It's like... like I said,
that's not at all what I was expecting.
Yeah,
you to
I mean
say.
it's not. Now there's other things that are much worse in jiu-jitsu that make me like cringe, like when people are doing leg locks and their knees get ripped, like their heel will turn like 90 degrees past like what it's supposed to.
Yeah,
their knees hyperextend, like elbows.
That's
like
probably pretty common.
Elbows break backwards like the 90 degree angle.
Oh, is that like for an arm bar and stuff?
Yeah,
like
those are the ones that get me, because it's just, you know that hurts and you can see it on their face.
Yeah.
Getting choked out, you just like, they're moving and then they're not.
You just get a quick nap.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I've been the one to do it, and I've been on the receiving end of being choked out. So
I thought you were about to say a breaking elbows. I was like, dang.
Oh, I've popped my elbows a few times.
Have you full on broken it?
No, but I've let it go too far, thinking I was like, okay, well, I'm almost out. The match is almost over, so and I'm up by a bunch of points. So if I can just hold on for a few more seconds, like, I'll win. I'll win first place.
Yeah.
And it was stupid, because it wasn't even for a tournament that meant anything. It was just a local tournament that I had never won that I wanted to win.
Yeah.
And I let it, like, my arm cracked really good in the last 5 seconds, and then it hurt for like 2 weeks.
Yee. Mm. But did you win?
No. Oh. I tapped out. I tapped out after my arm popped.
I think I'm done now.
Yeah. I'm going to go home now.
Dang, dude. All right, so I've heard you tell before that you, like, you've had to judge competitions and stuff before, too. Is that a common thing that you have to do, or is that something that, like, oh, hey, he's the local black belt, let's holler at him?
Sometimes people have, like, mentioned my name as far as, like, hey, he would be a good person to do this tournament, because I do, like, have a pretty decent familiarity with the rules of most tournaments, because I've competed a lot.
Yeah.
And
so you have competed a lot.
Yeah, I've competed probably close to in the time. This is over the course of like 14, 15 years.
Right, right.
Between like 85 and 90 times.
Yeah, okay.
So
you have taken some hits.
I know I know basically the rules for most tournaments. Some have their own nuances.
Yeah.
And that's just a quick, okay, I got to read this and know this.
Right.
I've been requested to work at the tournaments by word of mouth from my friends that do jiu-jitsu, and some that I've just volunteered to work because I was going to be there anyway competing.
Yeah.
So why not try to recuperate some of the
costs
of competing?
You're doing both? You're competing and judging?
There's been times where I've reffed and competed, and there's been times where I just ref, because, like, mentally, it's exhausting.
Yeah,
having to ref a bunch of both kids and adults that don't want to admit when they're wrong. And
so, who's harder to
the kids? So with the kids, it's the parents.
Ah,
it's the parents with the kids, because the parents want to try and live vicariously through their kids. So they're like screaming at me, "Oh, he didn't tap! He didn't tap!" And their kids are like, these are kids that are like sometimes like 5, 6 years old that are getting their necks cranked with a choke. And I'm like, his neck is bending. I'm going to stop it when I I see fit, because you don't know what you're talking about.
You can't just like give him a yellow card.
Yeah, I mean, with that kind of injury at that young of an age, that can be...
That's detrimental, yeah.
Yeah, it can be long-term bad.
Yeah.
Like, because they're so young and their bodies haven't developed to kind of tolerate that kind of stress.
Yeah.
And typically when I restate what they're saying to me, they kind of realize how silly it sounds and they'll kind of cool it a bit. But then I have parents that are like pacing up and down the side of the barricade, like looking at me, trying to like intimidate me. And I'll just like walk straight up to them and be like, hey, if you can't act like an adult, I'm going to have you removed from the tournament.
That's awesome.
Do you know what I do?
I am a first degree black belt.
Yeah, so, but most of the time, like, and now I make mistakes too. Like I've had people, hey, why'd you give this points? Here's why you shouldn't have or why you should have.
Yeah.
And I, like if I'm talking to them and it makes sense, you know, like, I don't mind admitting I'm wrong. Like,
yeah.
I'm not perfect. People make mistakes. Like, this weekend, I did the Black and Brood.
Yeah.
Judge. I'm not a... That's the first time I've ever done anything with CrossFit.
CrossFit judges so, is like, a home of the ball game, ain't it?
Yeah, and, like, doing... Like, making sure I'm counting, especially with a partner, because if it was just an individual, you know, you count one time through, and then...
Yeah.
But they're, like, splitting the reps and doing their own thing. And, like, there was one team that I felt so bad for because I was like, they were supposed to do toes apart and then devil press or something like that. And I totally forgot the order. And they did everything, but they had to do the devil press. Or, no, it was the dumbbell thrusters back-to-back with the devil press.
Oh.
And I was like... Guys, I'm sorry. Like, I messed that up for you. I told them I counted their reps that they did with the dumbbell thruster or devil press that they were doing because devil press takes longer than a dumbbell thruster does. So I was like, I'm not gonna make you start from zero.
Right.
That would be wrong of me. And they were super nice about it.
I'm joking.
Yeah, they were super nice about it and.
No, that's hard. I can't imagine at the games with a team of four.
Yeah, and I mean those guys. It's like that's like reffing a high profile jiu-jitsu match. Like those guys, like you know, if you do something that doesn't favor them, they are gonna immediately let you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
you have to be like the type of person that really just doesn't care who's who, and you're gonna judge objectively.
I mean, like, how many times have you seen the games athletes yell at the judges? It's every year.
Yeah.
Every year. It may not be the ones that you're watching, but go back and watch it and try to watch every single person that gets a no rep.
Rich did a lot this year.
I've seen Matt yell at the judges before.
Especially when they were doing those ring handstand push-ups where it was, like, elevated.
Yeah.
And everybody was just like... Doing the scorpion.
Yeah.
It's not a good
And they were, like, counting certain reps for him, which I got. Like,
right.
I could see why it was frustrating for him because they were counting some of the reps and then not counting them, but they all looked the same.
Right.
And I was like, I would probably be irritated, too, if you're having, like, because that's got to be uncomfortable
to do
that.
Some kind of, like, garbage movement that you'll never have to do again
that's a
just
total,
because somebody's trying to be cute.
That's total Hollywood stuff like
yeah he just that's a Dave Castro is trying to make the games a spectacle kind of thing
yeah.
So that's that's a whole podcast in itself but
yeah so as far as judging you just have to kind of put your judging hat on and your
right
game face and just not let anything faze you like
right.
The second you kind of lose your cool
with
somebody, they've already won.
Right.
Like, I like to – it's a funny quote, but I like to always try to remember this when, like, somebody – I have to deal with somebody like that, but it's never argue with an idiot because they'll drag you down to their level and beat you with experience.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. Man. Well, all right, Philip. Is there anything else that you'd like to add for the end?
Just thank you to everyone for being so awesome and such good friends to me. Like, outside of jiu-jitsu, you guys are my only other friends. And thank you to everybody who's, like, always been able to offer kind words and like encouraging words and just been there to coach me and help me.
Yeah.
Because I like to think for the little amount of time that I've been doing training here.
Yeah.
I've came pretty far and I'm really enjoying the process of just not only doing my own program, but yeah. being around you guys and just like having that energy, like to kind of like, cause you know, you see somebody else going, at yeah. least for me, it motivates me to just like stop feeling sorry for myself
right.
when I'm like tired or I'm like, oh, I missed that. I'm going to try it again. And I just love everything about being here.
Good people will motivate you far better than you'll motivate yourself.
Yeah, and
I'm like, not saying that as like a rose on our shoulder or anything. That's just truth. And so that's why people that they try to find training partners, they're trying to find, you know, cool gym families and things like that. That it's just good people will motivate you far better than you would ever motivate yourself.
Anytime like there's a video, like because I like to video myself just yeah. to kind of watch to see if I'm doing something stupid. Or,
yeah.
But anytime I've like made a PR on something, it's I always hear your voice, his voice, and or Tyler's voice. It's like one of y'all guys or like
right.
a combination of you guys. And it
well,
just,
I like to like, yell at people anyway.
So when I'll go back and watch the videos, it just like gets me so hyped because it's just like I love these guys to death. They're like always like not letting me get in my thoughts too much. They're like,
yeah.
just get back on it and do it again. And
yeah.
I haven't ever experienced that a whole lot outside of jiu-jitsu with like fitness.
Right.
And like I said, I'm still very new to this.
Right.
But I'm enjoying this like I haven't ever before. And
so I
think
I
that
a...
says a lot to your guys' credit for just being the type of people you are and running
right.
the gym the way it's ran. And also the type of people you attract. There's not a person in here that I couldn't see myself hanging out with outside of here.
Right. I definitely consider a lot of people, just about everybody from here, a friend. And that's not something that you get at just any old gym, you know?
Yeah.
I definitely double that sentiment for sure. And then also too, like I feel like whenever I'm going for lifts, I hear you yelling for me too, you know? And so that's something that I want to give to others because I know that helps me in turn. But the question I was going to ask a little bit earlier, I didn't mean to like cut
no,
you off or anything,
you're good.
Was have you ever seen me dance in the background of your videos?
Yeah, I took a, you don't remember when we were listening, it was, we came in on a Saturday, you.
Oh, no, I'm talking about on like your PR videos in here. That was one where we was all dancing together.
Yeah.
But there's been times where you've had it rolling and I've like kind of looked to see if it was recording. And you were maybe changing plates or something. I'll just like do a little shimmy or something in the background.
Yeah, sometimes I notice that stuff when I go back and watch the video. But like,
I'm all the time looking to see if your phone's like propped up so I can do something
in the moment.
In the
like when I'm like, what's heavy for me when I'm like trying to lift is like, I'm just like trying to focus on not crushing my skull, and so like I'm like half out of it. I'm just
yeah.
like zoned in on that. But I'll go back and watch the videos, and I'll see, like, silly stuff like that. And it just, like, it makes me crack up.
Am I the
like,
only one? Are there other people that do it, too?
Oh, Tyler, there's a video of me doing a clean 240 clean, and Tyler's in the background running across with his
yeah.
shirt over his head. With his arms see, just, like, loose. Like.
See, now what you're going to have happen is that you're just going to be able to put together a compilation from now to the end of the year of everybody and their mother getting in the background of your videos.
And honestly, like,
stuff.
I'm okay with that because – I don't take myself that seriously.
Right, no,
like,
you don't.
Like, there's a couple of times where I'm like, hey, watch out, I'm videoing. And I didn't mean
yeah.
to, like, if it came across, like, I just didn't want them to, like...
block the shot.
Like, I didn't want to be, like, lifting and holding it forever because it was, like, a couple of times it was, like, for me, it's heavy.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, barely, like, making it as it is, like, with my breath. But, like, I don't really care if people walk in front of me. Like,
right.
I don't, like, I'll just wait. You know, like, it doesn't bother me to, I just enjoy being here and getting to train and, like, really do the full scope of my program and train with you guys. So, like, everything else, like, doesn't affect me at all. Like,
yeah.
Like I said, I don't take myself too seriously. So if you can't tell, I'm a huge goofball. Like, I like to crack jokes and
right.
lighten the mood, because I think there's a lot of stuff you have to deal with in life is hard.
Yeah.
It's negative, and I don't like to bring that around.
Right.
If I can help it. Like,
see, I have this really big problem that I'm starting to really realize now, is that I've said on the show before, especially on like Chaney's episode where he talks about his schizophrenia and stuff, is that we have really dark senses of humor. And so even now, whenever stuff like I'm presented with information of like really tough situations from people, I have an innate, what's the word, instinct to cut the tension somehow. And usually it's with dark humor. And yeah. I'm just like, I have to stop it a lot, because I'm like, a lot of people don't find this kind of stuff funny,
oh.
you know, or won't want a joke right now.
Oh, you, so. I was in the infantry. I've heard it all.
Oh yeah, you have.
Yeah, you don't. No, you better have thick skin, or you're not going to make it.
Right, right. So, anyways, Eric, is there anything that you'd like to add towards the end?
No, barbells for boots is tomorrow.
Oh yeah, barbells for boots.
I'm stoked
tomorrow.
On that. So I first time doing it, and
you're going Unbroken, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna do RX Plus too.
Yeah, 155.
Oh, yeah, 225. I can't even power clean it.
It's gonna be a long.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm turning the time cap for it's whenever I finish.
Just at one some hour. Point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you, dude, there's some people out there that could do that for sure.
What?
225 Grace. Has there people that's done it?
Yeah. You never seen Rich do it?
No. That's news to me, dude.
His time's like 350.
Chill out.
He did that in 2011. It's when he first started.
Jeez.
Oh my God! All right,
like, is there a video? He's also done Isabel with 225.
Is there a video? Is there videos of this?
Yeah.
Are the
okay, I might have to watch that.
Are the reps different, or is it the same?
No, he did 30. Just, mm-hmm. I've
God,
done
that. Makes me.
I've done 225.
That
makes it. I've done 225 before. It took me like 8 minutes.
Yeah, I watched them do that Rogue Invitational where they were doing heavy Fran.
Yeah.
Where it was just 21, 21, 21 with 185 thrusters and 21 pull-ups, and I was like. I can't even barely hang on for like 95 pounds, and they're like just like
cranking it out.
Yeah, especially at that time, that was like yeah. that was like my one rep max clean and jerk. I'm like, you guys are, you need to go on somewhere. Just go somewhere else where I don't have to see you, because this is insulting.
This makes me feel bad about myself. Anyways, all right, guys, that is all that we have for today. Philip, thank you for coming in.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. It was
absolutely
a huge pleasure to be on this. Like,
it's been a fun episode.
I listen to you guys' podcasts all the time. So
now you get to see how the magic's yeah. made, and it's not that impressive, is it?
I think it's awesome.
No, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Anyways, guys, if you want to find us on our social medias, you can check us out at Rocket City CrossFit on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Check us out on our other podcast, The Secret Dungeon. And guys, tune in next episode in 2 weeks, where it will be November now. Ooh, we're getting into holiday territory now. So, yeah, Halloween's this Sunday and all that stuff. So, guys, be safe. Have fun.
The time of the year when
yeah.
it goes from Halloween decorations to Christmas decorations the next day.
within a matter of 24 hours. All right, guys, we'll see you guys next time.